This is the Daily Detail, powered by 1819 News. Honest news.
Alabama.
Our great state.
The voice of Alabama values.
Alabama. Unbelievable people.
And now, here is Andrea Tice.
U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville says that changes made by the Biden administration to Title IX legislation within the U.S. Department of Education is going to undo more than 50 years of work to create fair and equal opportunities for young women. The new definitions by the DOE expands gender to include gender identity and then federally protects any transgender female, which is essentially a biological male, who wants to enter into female sports and other female-only spaces and programs. Tuberville says he'll be doing everything in his power to fight back and stop Joe Biden from trying to define what a woman is, and Tuberville wants to preserve Title IX as it was written for the women of the next generation. By just one vote, the gambling constitutional amendment failed to pass the Alabama Senate on Tuesday night. The House passed that same bill earlier that day. In each chamber, a 60% threshold was needed to pass a constitutional amendment. One of the votes that flipped to no from the original yes vote was that of Senator Greg Allbritton. Allbritton says that changes made within the conference committee on the bills did not secure the Porch Band of Creek Indians and their gambling compact and was the reason why he decided to vote no. Former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Burdock has looked at the legislation and then went on Right Side Radio talking with Phil Williams about what has been written inside the conference committee bill that still introduces casinos and online gambling through carefully crafted words.
Before last night, this obligation for the governor to negotiate a compact with the Indians said that you must negotiate a compact for any and all activities allowed under the Indian gaming law. What that meant is any and all types of gaming, such as a roulette table, poker games, dice games, anything allowed under federal Indian gaming law, any type.
Right.
And so that was bad enough. But here's what they snuck in on this conference committee. They added this language for some reason, including Class 3 games in any form.
Oh,
now the reason that is
that's new, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, in particular, there's a case in the U.S. Supreme Court right now that is considering what in any form means. Does it mean that if the casino has a game of roulette and blackjack that is allowed on site, can it offer the online form of that game to people located outside of the reservation as long as the server receiving the bet is still on the location of the reservation?
So we're back to online gaming again.
Exactly. Exactly.
This failing vote within the state Senate was considered a procedural vote, so there is a possibility that they could take the whole bill to the floor for voting. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, Governor Ivey is still throwing her support behind getting this package across the line, saying that she wants to bring the issue to the Alabamians for them to vote on. A bill is headed to the governor's desk that would prohibit financial institutions from participating in a federal plan to collect information on the purchases of firearms and ammunition. SB 281 would eliminate the merchant category codes used by financial institutions and payment processors when a purchase of a firearm or ammunition would be made in Alabama. There is concern over the ultimate creation of a database that would track gun owners and their purchases. This is something that the federal government has been seeking to achieve through indirect means, and one of those ways is by pushing these financial institutions to incorporate the merchant category codes. The bill says specifically that no state agency in Alabama can keep record or create a registry of this firearm information. Well, the United Methodist Church went and did it. The denomination that was founded by Charles and John Wesley, who had the utmost respect and devotion to the Word of God, has repealed the ban on LGBTQ clergy. The UMC is holding their first legislative conference in 5 years in Charlotte, North Carolina. The delegates voted 692-51 to remove the ban from openly homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender people who want to be affirmed into the clergy. The measure goes into effect as soon as the conference is completed. Another measure also passed would remove any penalties for clergy that perform same-sex weddings. District superintendents cannot forbid or require a church to host a same-sex wedding, so it's essentially left up to the pastor of that church. 100 people gathered outside the convention center to await the final vote on these measures. They were wearing rainbow-colored clothing items, and they sang praise songs and prayed when the repeal came down. A special runoff election was held this past Tuesday to fill the vacated seat of House District 27. Gina Ross is now the declared winner. She won over Alan Miller. The special election will place Ross within the state legislature since no Democrat is challenging that seat this coming November. Well, the four finalists for Alabama's Teacher of the Year Award are now out. Deanna Hooks of Auburn, Deborah Stringfellow in Elmore County, Kyra Aaron in Vestavia Hills, and Kristen Brown in Madison have all been named from a total of 150 educators whose names were submitted for this honor. All four will interview with the state judging committee, and the final decision will be made known on Wednesday, May 8th. For more in-depth stories affecting the state of Alabama, go to 1819news.com. In national news, well, this week just gets wilder and wilder with what is happening on college campuses across the nation. On Tuesday night, the two-week encampment of pro-Hamas supporters that were on the campus of Columbia University in New York City was completely torn down and disbanded. Hundreds of New York police officers were brought in at the request of the university president to arrest those protesters after they left their tents on the ground to take over the administrative office of Hamilton Hall. Those pro-Hamas protesters made the move after an ultimatum was issued for them to leave the campus or be suspended from school. Instead, they invaded Hamilton Hall and wreaked absolute havoc on that facility in order to gain access to the building and then to hunker down. Windows were smashed, furniture was piled up to create blockades from police. However, that did nothing to stop the NYPD and its SWAT teams. Over 100 protesters were arrested on Tuesday night, and before that night was concluded, a Columbia professor was interviewed by an NBC reporter. Professor Deborah Becker lost no time in finding a way to blame MAGA Republicans for all of this.
Making choices for months to go along with the demands of the MAGA Republicans and the right to ruin our universities, to turn our universities into a police state, and to repress our students' speech. And they're just following that playbook.
Keep in mind that the encampment had been in place for 2 weeks on that campus, with the pro-Hamas supporters actively threatening, barring, and turning away any Jewish students or professors that were trying to get to their class. A young man was in New York City in that area and asked another New Yorker what he thought about all of this going down. Nick Shirley then posted the video to social media.
Do you think the majority of these college students honestly know exactly what they're protesting for?
The majority of these college students are here on a government loan. They are studying something unbelievably stupid. They are basically being bilked for money. They have no idea. It's the next cool thing to do. The average person, I think, at these protests is the kid that isn't cool or good-looking enough to be invited to a house party. So because they're not invited to a house party, they make their own, which is out here, which is why what happens when they summon these people with a flyer, 10,000 of them show up. These are 10,000 people with nowhere else to be.
I think the average New Yorker has a better understanding of all of this than the Columbia professor. Meanwhile, over at UCLA in California, a similar encampment was created on the campus a week ago, and a Jewish female student was knocked unconscious on Tuesday by the pro-Hamas demonstrators. They pushed her around and denied her access to the campus, causing her to hit her head and lose consciousness. Later that night, about 100 pro-Israel men returned to the encampment to tear down the plywood and the tents and to take on the protesters. It was a total melee that occurred for over the course of 2 hours before police officers showed up and stopped it all. At the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, the pro-Hamas protesters took down the large American flag and replaced it with the Palestinian one, which caused the chancellor of the university, Lee Roberts, to march over with a group of police officers and put that American flag back on himself. Roberts then spoke to the crowd, who became very agitated at his rhetoric.
This university doesn't belong to a small group of protesters. It belongs to every citizen of North Carolina, everybody in North Carolina. Everybody who goes to school here, everybody who lives and works here. The flag represents all of us. To take down that flag and put up another flag, no matter what other flag it is, that's antithetical to who we are, what this university stands for, what we have done for 229 years. The broad majority of this campus knows how to express their views without shouting, without violating university policy. That flag will stand here as long as I'm chancellor.
A Jerusalem-based research institute called the NGO Monitor released a report on where all of the funding and coordination is coming from so that these pro-Hamas demonstrators all have the identical tents and identical signs to use. The NGO Monitor concluded that non-governmental organizations are the vehicle through which this effort has been planned and launched. And international journalist Alex Newman confirmed this further by naming some names while talking on NTD News.
Well, one of the things that we've learned in recent days is that a lot of them stand to gain a lot of money. You find the Open Societies Foundation, this is George Soros' tax-exempt organization, funding a lot of these anti-Israel protesters, including this group, Students for Justice in Palestine. They've got organizations where they're giving thousands of dollars to these students to be so-called fellows on campus. So it actually reminds me a lot of back in the Soviet days when the Soviet Union was sending intelligence operatives into the Middle East to rile up Arabs and Muslims against their Jewish neighbors. I think something very, very sinister is going on here. Of course, in America, we all value free speech, but what's happening here is way beyond free speech. These are threats. This is violence. And I believe it's being instigated deliberately for the purpose of undermining American society and undermining American cohesion.
Well, something else happened this week while we were all watching the stuff on the college campuses. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie held a press conference to warn the Republicans within the U.S. House that they will be offering a motion to vacate Speaker of the House Mike Johnson sometime next week. Both of them called on Johnson to think about this whole issue over the weekend on whether or not he shouldn't just resign, then put the party through another motion to vacate. Massie gave several reasons why he's backing Taylor Greene in this motion.
I think she's gone about this in a very reasonable way. She's given the speaker multiple chances to resign, to leave. And instead, he's clinging to power by clinging to Democrats.
And Greene said that forcing the Democrats and Republicans to vote is a very good thing because it's going to be a big reveal of who is a card-carrying member of the Uniparty rather than working for their constituents.
I think the American people need to see a recorded vote of does the members of Congress support the Uniparty? Is this what they support? I think every member of Congress needs to take that vote and let the chips fall where they may.
We didn't get elected to make excuses. We didn't get elected to say we shouldn't even try. We got elected to come here and give it our best. And also to impose transparency. What we've seen here is the coming out of the Uniparty. And it will be consolidated and it will be transparent and apparent next week to all Americans when this vote happens.
Donald Trump was not in a courthouse on Tuesday. So instead, he went and had a rally in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and later on in Michigan. He had a very good time joking with the crowd and went off teleprompter quite a few times.
Good. What do you like better, Crooked Joe or Sleepy Joe? They're both accurate. What do you like better? He says criminal, criminal. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, ready? We'll go Sleepy and then what? Wait. You applaud if you like it. We'll go Sleepy first and Sleepy Joe. Crooked Joe.
Trump also recognized the serious nature of this election year.
But it should be no surprise that in addition to the millions and millions of people invading our country from the border, Crooked Joe is now reportedly planning, this is wonderful news for you people in Wisconsin, to bring massive numbers of Gazans from the Middle East all live to your American towns, your towns and villages. Your towns and villages will now be accepting people from Gaza. Under no circumstances should we bring thousands of refugees from Hamas-controlled terrorist epicenters like Gaza to America. We just can't do it. You know, we also have to run our country. It's nice to be nice. It's nice to be good. We got to run our country. Our country's in trouble. Our country might not survive. I'll tell you what, if we don't win this election, I don't think our country's going to survive. I will say it. And I've never said that publicly, I don't think. But I felt it for a long time.
The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to hear a case that challenges the Texas state law that requires age verification on pornography websites in order to prevent minors from gaining access to that content. This means the state law remains in effect in Texas. The appeal was filed by the Free Speech Coalition, which is a national trade association representing the adult entertainment industry. The appeal was also joined by the American Civil Liberties Union. You're listening to The Daily Detail from 1819 News. If you are enjoying The Daily Detail and want to make sure that these reports come up easily on your smartphone, then be sure to hit the subscribe or follow button on whatever podcasting app you are using. It's usually on the main page of The Daily Detail. That could be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbeam, or some other app. And also be sure to visit 1819 News for more reliable, up-to-date information on what's going on around here in Alabama. You can also join 1819 News by becoming a member, which will get you exclusive content as well as 1819 merchandise. You can visit 1819news.com/membership to learn more. I'm Andrea Tice. I'll be back again tomorrow. I look forward to updating you then.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Our great state.
Alabama.
Of Alabama.
This has been The Daily Detail. For more up-to-date news, go to 1819news.com, where you'll find honest news and Alabama values.